5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Election Day plus two. Again, it's like D-Day plus two, land on the beaches of Normandy. Yes, D-Day was a few days ago, but we're still trying to collect ourselves and figure everything out. So welcome into the show. We're going to have the very latest on the election results this morning, where things stand right now. Over the last 5 hours, I've been diving deep into this data. So we will have some of the Senate races, which to me, that's where the real story is this morning. We'll be talking about the Senate races, where things stand. Six seats still up for grabs in the Senate. Those things are not ironed out yet. Right now, we've got a 47-47 Senate. So kind of tied at the moment until this thing, all this dust settles. We'll find that out. We'll also find out where we are latest with Vice President Biden, Donald Trump. Vice President Biden has received more votes than any candidate in U.S. history. More than 71 million votes. Just let that sink in for a second. And then let it sink in to think, wait a minute, the Senate is kind of tied right now? He received that many votes? And yet there was no blue wave of victory? That's right. So yes, he may have gotten out the vote, but did it pan out for Democrats? We'll be analyzing some of this data this morning and where things stand in Georgia, Arizona. And no, we do not have a president yet. We do not have a new president yet. So we will get to all of that. We're also going to look at Wall Street and stocks. And if your 401k, your retirement right now is tied up in Wall Street, we're going to look at why it went wild yesterday and where I think it will go in the future and what you need to do with your money. So we will look at the things you will not be seeing on CNBC or Fox Business or these other networks that want you to invest in the stock market. We'll tell you the truth here on the show. So thanks to all of our new channel members. This is the only morning business show that covers progressive issues that you're not going to see in the mainstream media. So thank you for becoming a channel member. You can do so by going to morninginvest.com/join. We've gotten a couple new channel members first thing this morning. We have three new ones already, even in our pre-show. So nice to see our new channel members this morning. Welcome in. What else are we going to be covering today? Oh, Bernie Sanders. This guy. Imagine, number one, imagine if he would actually have been the candidate. But number two, he predicted accurately, word for word, what was going to happen over these past 24, 48 hours. So this video has surfaced of Bernie Sanders. It's gone viral. We're going to show you. We're going to walk through kind of point by point this morning. And I think it's pretty fascinating to look at. Get the very latest maps up here, and we'll get the very latest on the election results in just a second as I bring in my, there we go. Just wanted to bring in my elements here. Grover is not here. Many of you have been asking for, where is Grover? Where is my companion? He is, unfortunately, he's still at the pet sitter, but I do have some video. I've been showing this throughout the morning because many of you have been asking for it.
We need a cricket sound effect.
For the bed? Yeah.
Oh, wow. He just gets up and walks away even on video.
Right. He's like, look. We need like, yeah, just like, where is he? It's been quiet though, because he ends up like sleeping with me at night, much to the chagrin of my wife right now. But so it's been a quiet few nights without him. All right, let's dive into it, my friends. So let's talk about the election. Where things stand right now, again, Vice President Biden at this hour, I couldn't believe these numbers, has received more votes for president than any candidate in U.S. history. Yeah, more than FDR at the height of his popularity. I mean, the guy won four terms, right? Think about the people that are on Mount Rushmore. Joe Biden has received more of the popular vote than any candidate in U.S. history. And yet, we still don't know who the president is. That's how close things are right now. And there's actually some pretty troubling numbers that we're now seeing in these exit polls for Democrats. I saw some comment from a viewer earlier that said, Clayton, I hear you're kind of bashing Biden. I'm not bashing Biden. And he said, by the way, this guy's going to be the president. Okay, he might be. But look at all of the damage that the Democrats did by not having a solid progressive platform. Look what they could have accomplished and they didn't. How the Senate is sitting right now, we'll get to these Senate numbers coming up in just a few minutes. 47-47 right now in the Senate. We don't know. There's no blue wave. Mitch McConnell won. Joni Ernst won again. Susan Collins in Maine won. These are Lindsey Graham. These were, quote, vulnerable Republican senators. Yeah, they coasted to a victory. So I'm not saying Joe Biden, what the Biden camp did was wrong, replaying 2016. But they didn't increase their base. They didn't increase their tent. In fact, Donald Trump, the Republicans actually increased the size of their tent. African Americans, women went for Trump in overwhelming numbers in a way that they didn't in 2016. Trump doubled the number of African-American women that voted for him from 4% to 8%. One out of every 10 black women in America voted for Trump. One out of every five voted for Trump. Black men voted for Trump. Up to almost 20% of black men voted for Trump. So this Democratic Party that's supposed to be inclusive, it's supposed to care about the voice of the downtrodden, of the minorities, of people who can't get a leg up in this society. The workers going for Trump. So there needs to be a postmortem here for the Democrats, and they need to be looking long and hard at their party's messaging and platform going forward. You know, maybe Joe Biden can be that president that is concerned about the African-American community, not just pays lip service to it, but actually does something about it. The fact that one out of every five black men voted for Trump, and Democrats just think, you know what? Every African-American is just going to vote for me. So we just got that locked up. That's in the can. We got that taken care of. Not the case. These numbers are interesting. So I love looking at these exit polls because it really is like a real-time postmortem of where they spent their money, where they wasted their money, and what Democrats believed versus actually what happened. So where are we right now? Let's take a look at the map, folks. Here we are. This is the current map. Let me zoom in on this a little bit. These are the current numbers. It's interesting to watch some of the different networks who don't want to call Arizona yet. So right now you have like CNN that's not calling Arizona for Biden. And maybe they're smart about that. Fox News called the other night, on election night, called Arizona for Biden. And what's been happening over the past few hours is they are now counting these absentee ballots and mail-in ballots. You know, the very ballots that Trump didn't want to be counted, has not wanted to be mailed in. Well, guess what? They're now trending towards Trump in Arizona, Maricopa County, etc. So Trump is getting closer and closer to potentially forcing a recount in that state. Or potentially winning Arizona after all. Even after Fox News and the Associated Press called Arizona for Biden, these numbers, look, 88% of expected vote in. We still have 12% to go. These are current numbers right now, 11 electoral votes up for grabs. Same thing is true of Nevada. You know, it's, yes, scaling blue at this hour, but 75% of the vote, we will finally have those numbers in from Nevada a little bit later today. They started counting again today. They took like a day off. But the real thing to watch right now, folks, is Georgia, because this what's different about Arizona and Georgia is that the early votes sort of leaned towards Trump, 49.6%. But as these late votes have been counted and slowly trickling in, it's starting to trend Biden. We could end up with a near statistical tie in the state of Georgia, which case would automatically throw it into a recount. So by all accounts, because you have to be within 0.5%, by all accounts, Georgia is heading to a recount. By all accounts, Wisconsin is already heading to a recount. So we will see recounts in a number of different states. This is not just going to be one Florida recount like in 2000. There's going to be multiple recounts. So Pennsylvania, though, this is the big one right now. Pennsylvania is the big boy because all of this other talk about Georgia, North Carolina, Nevada goes out the window. If Biden wins Pennsylvania, and we should likely know Pennsylvania probably by later tonight, that's it. If Biden wins Pennsylvania, it's over for Trump. Now, what are the it's interesting to think about the current roads. If Arizona goes back to in the Trump column and Nevada slips into the Trump column, then his road to victory can be paved with Georgia, North Carolina, and then he would also have to win Pennsylvania. But Joe Biden's road, so to speak, he has multiple routes. Like if he was pulling up his Apple Maps, he was like, hey, I want to go to that location. It's Apple Maps is going to give him like three different routes to get there. One will have tolls. The ETA on one of them will take 2 minutes longer than the other one. But nevertheless, Biden has like three different Apple Maps routes to victory right now. Trump won at this hour. So it's not looking favorable for President Trump to finish this off. But we want to wait till every vote is counted. And right now, these election workers, these volunteers have been doing an amazing job. They've been up for, you know, hours and hours going through these ballots. The thing in Pennsylvania you have to remember is they don't start counting those absentee and mail-in ballots. For instance, I mailed my ballot in Pennsylvania. Well, on election night, they hadn't even started counting my ballot. Members of the military from overseas, same thing. Those ballots don't get counted until after the same day vote takes place. The voting is tabulated. So they won't even start counting those until all of those votes on election day are done. Then they start ripping the paper open and start going through those ballots. And imagine how tedious this is. You have to rip open that secrecy envelope, which is on the outside, then pull out the actual ballot, which is in another envelope, then rip that open. And then that goes into a machine that counts the ballots. Hundreds of thousands of those. That has been wrapping up in Arizona. They've gotten through that now. Pennsylvania still has hundreds of thousands to complete. And the real question is, how will those shake out? Right now, we knew that this was going to happen in Pennsylvania, that Pennsylvania would look red maybe for a day or two, and then it was going to start to trend blue in Philadelphia County. And all of those votes in Philadelphia County, that is a heavily Democratic area, that have not been counted yet. So that's where you're going to start to see Pennsylvania unfolding. Well, and the Trump campaign has already filed law.
I'd say word is too that,
yeah,
you know, because they all these legal actions they're taking, that alone can mm-hmm. push this into December.
Right. Right. Because a couple of lawsuits have already been filed. So we already have lawsuits unfolding in Georgia, Pennsylvania. We don't have the final votes yet, though. And so part of the lawsuit is that they want to be able to be in the room counting these votes and have oversight over.
Yeah, Giuliani announced this morning that it's going to be in Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. That's where, I mean, those are some of the places that they're going to take legal action.
Yeah. And of course, President Trump yesterday saying that he was going to take this all the way to the Supreme Court. So that's a long way off before it would ever get to the Supreme Court. But hey, we've been here before. Remember 2000? But it's going to be very difficult for President Trump to try to argue that he's the winner if Pennsylvania goes fully and there's a majority of votes. Look, I get the states where there's going to be an automatic recount. Georgia is sitting right there already in an automatic recount with 0.5%. That's where it triggers. Wisconsin as well. If it's less than 1%, the loser can automatically request a recount. They've already leaned in that direction. So we're going to start to see a lot of this over the next 24, 48 hours, more of this. And at it's least, not being helped at all by President Trump coming out saying that he wants this to, that we should stop the vote. His supporters have been out there at these different poll locations, stop the vote. But then when they go to Arizona, they're saying continue to count the vote. Isn't that funny?
I was going to say, at least this time we don't have to hear the word hanging Chad.
Yeah. Yeah, remember that in Florida, of course, with you had all those guys with the little binoculars or the little monocles, like the Monopoly guy looking at those ballots. Like, is this one hanging or not? It was so ridiculous. Remember the pregnant Chad? That was my favorite. Pregnant Chad. Which was literally, oh, someone meant to vote for Gore, and they didn't push it all the way through, so it was pregnant. Does that count? No. Same thing with a hanging chat. It didn't break off, so it's just hanging there. Do we count that? Amazing. Amazing that it comes down to like 500 votes, you know, in Florida. Every vote counts. Unbelievable. So, you know, if we still have this sort of post-mortem, I'm still fascinated to look at these numbers. There was not a blue wave. There was going to be this tsunami. By the way, today is National Tsunami Awareness Day. Just want to bring that to your attention. I'm doing my part. Are you doing yours to bring awareness to tsunamis? So I'm going to try to use tsunami as much as I can in today's show to bring awareness about that they exist. So there was no big blue wave. There was no big blue tsunami. And if we look at the Senate right now, I think it's really important for us to take a look at these Senate numbers. We still don't know. We still don't know and have a clear decision as to who is going to be the majority leader of the Senate. We don't know if it's going to be the Republicans or Democrats. It's leaning Republican at this moment, but looks like we are headed to recounts and runoff, or not recounts, runoff elections in Georgia, two of them. So let me go through these numbers in the Senate. I think that this is really interesting. There are six seats currently up for grabs, toss-ups at this moment, that are really still not called yet. So if you look at Maine, Susan Collins was in a tight race in Maine, but it didn't end up being that tight, but it still is not called yet. Her challenger, Gideon, called her up and said, look, I concede, but because of ranked choice voting in the state of Maine, this could actually change things. So we don't yet know who the winner is in Maine. Susan Collins has the lead. She's hovering around 51%, but because of ranked choice voting, we don't know. So again, keep your eyes on Maine. North Carolina was the most expensive U.S. Senate election in history. The amount of money spent there. Tom Tillis, still close. He's up, but not called yet. Arizona, Mark Kelly. Looks like he's going to win as a Democrat. That would be one of the few seats to flip in Arizona. So this is like the ghost of John McCain, you know? Like, we did it. We're going to needle Trump from the grave, you know? So Mark Kelly, astronaut Mark Kelly, that one's though is not, that's not signed, sealed, and delivered just yet, as these late votes are still being counted. So these things are not in the can yet. Georgia, this is the most important state right now, and this is where Republicans are nervous, is in the state of Georgia, because as these votes continue to come in, we right now still don't know, at least in the presidency, we still don't know, and we're still waiting for these votes to be counted. 99% of these expected votes are in, but some of these heavily Democratic districts still haven't counted their votes. So this was Trump leading, and now is trending Biden as the hours go on. What does that mean for David Perdue? He's still leading in Georgia, but his lead is barely above the runoff threshold, meaning they have to have a significant victory. Otherwise, they will have a runoff election in January. We already know there's going to be a runoff election in Georgia for the other Senate seat. That's a Raphael Warnock versus Kelly Loeffler. They're going to have a runoff in January. So Georgia could have both of its Senate seats in a runoff election in January. And we won't know who will be, you know, if these two seats end up going blue, there you go. Now, remember, if Biden wins, Kamala Harris becomes the tie-breaking vote in the Senate. So this magic number for Democrats to actually flip the Senate is four, right? But really, it would go down to three if Biden wins, because then Kamala becomes the tie-breaking vote in the Senate as the vice president of the United States. So this is what it comes down to. It's fascinating. Dems, you know, need these four pickups, and they only lead right now in one of these races. But Georgia, all eyes on Georgia and these runoff elections. So there you go. Susan Collins, Mark Kelly, David Perdue, Raphael Warnock, and Tom Tillis, probably biting their nails this morning. That's a look at the Senate. So again, looking at some of these poll numbers, I mentioned this in the pre-show a little bit, but some of the exit polls at this hour, and as we're paying attention to who voted for whom in this election, one out of every five black men in the United States voted for Trump. Now, just pay attention to these numbers for a second. 13% for the GOP in 2016 voted for Trump. 13% of black men, specifically black men, voted for Trump in 2016. And now you would have thought with Black Lives Matter, you would have thought with the George Floyd protests, everything that unfolded, right? He's the quote unquote racist president. He's a narcissist. He's a racist. All of that. They would have all gone over to the Democrats, maybe just by default. At least that's what Democrats always hope, right? We're here just by default. So come on over. We'll take you for granted. You're going to come home and vote for Papa Joe anyway, right? Not so. Trump increased this election the number of black men who voted for him this time over 2016. Went from 13% up to 18%. That means that nearly one out of every five black men in America voted for Trump. I guess just taking the black vote for granted doesn't work. What about women? Black women, 4% of black women in 2016 voted for Trump. 4%. Trump doubled the number of black women that voted for him this time. 8% of black women doubled. One out of every 10 black women in the United States voted for Trump. Again, Biden might win, but my point is what a horrible campaign Democrats have won, run. That they have not been able to that the fact that black men and black women in larger numbers than in 2016 went to Trump this time around. President Trump, who's rolled back workers' rights in this country, slashed Obama-era regulations, slashed President Trump's President Obama's affordable housing initiatives. Both parties, I think, are not in the can, are not there to help the workers, not there to help the environment.
Could you imagine if there would have been a Ralph Nader this round? You know, like somebody like that was right. Actually, you know, making moves. Like this would have been the perfect year for a viable third party.
Yeah, but you can't have a third party. You can't have a third party, Dave, when these guys spend millions of dollars to keep you off a ballot and just fight you like crazy, like Democrats did. To keep Howie Hawkins, the Green Party candidate, off the ballot in Pennsylvania. Just pouring millions of dollars, and it all comes from Wall Street donations. All of these Hollywood Jeffrey Katzenberg types that pour millions of dollars into these campaigns because they don't want an outside voice. They don't want someone to rock the boat like a Ralph Nader or a Ross Perot. The only reason Ross Perot got as far as he got is because he used his own money. He was a billionaire. I like to bring this analogy up from time to time because I think it's important. Like Ross Perot is the only viable third party candidate that we've had in the last, as far as I can remember, 1992. Many people believe that Bill Clinton won because of Ross Perot siphoning off a number of those conservative votes from George H.W. Bush. But before that, we have to go back to the Bull Moose Party, the Bull Moose candidacy of Theodore Roosevelt. Who, by the way, was a two-term president and one of the most popular presidents in American history. He takes 4 years off and then decides to run again, not as a Republican, but as a Bull Moose candidate. He still lost. Isn't that crazy? He's on Mount Rushmore. He ran as a third-party candidate and couldn't win. People are asking me some good books to read. Read the Edmund. If you're interested in Theodore Roosevelt, my favorite president, you've got to read the Edmund Morris, like my last name, Edmund Morris. There's three books that he wrote on Theodore Roosevelt over his life. The first book he wrote won the Pulitzer Prize, called The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt. So good. But it just goes to show you that if you're not part of one of these two parties, you're not going to win.
Or a billionaire. Because that's the thing. Joe Biden.
Or a billionaire.
Yeah, Joe Biden really didn't have to do anything this election. He didn't have to make any promises. He just automatically got it and didn't have to like cater to anybody. Like refuse Bernie Sanders' demands. Like, all of it.
He didn't have a platform. I mean, what is his platform? Can anyone even like tell me what he really stands for? So at the beginning of the campaign, he's against fracking. Then as the campaign unfolds and he realizes he needs Pennsylvania, he's now for fracking because he doesn't want to lose those votes in Pennsylvania. What on healthcare? What are you going to have some sort of a public option that you should have had before, but now it's not really a public option. You're going to be just subsidizing insurance companies. So big insurance is happy about it because they're just going to get a ton of money from the federal government. Where are you on foreign wars? You're not going to reduce. In fact, you're going to increase our footprint in the Middle East. What about Social Security? He's over the years wanted to slash Social Security. Now he's kind of in favor of it, but he knows he needs that for votes. But he really, in his heart, wants to increase the age for Social Security. Where are you on a minimum wage? No one really knows. But with Bernie Sanders, at least we knew. We knew Medicare for all. Fix this environmental crisis and catastrophe. Reduce our carbon footprint in the United States. We're killing ourselves. And by the way, hundreds of climate scientists all agree that we have about 15 more years is like the tipping point moment for us to get this under control. Well, by the way, so that dropped times, down in the exit polls.
Well, and so many times Biden's been given the opportunity to retract or at least speak to why he made, because he's been a politician since the 70s and he's stood firm and said, right. No, I would do it again. Like they've lobbed himself. You wouldn't do that again, right? You wouldn't write that bill again. No, I love that bill. You know, he's right. Had so many opportunities and he just doubles down.
That's right. Yeah, he's had so many opportunities. These softball questions from this, the liberal media, they're like, you didn't really mean the crime bill, Joe, right? Like, would you really have gone to Iraq? Would you really have done these things? Would you really have supported creating seven more wars with President Obama? Would you have really supported building those cages at the border? Which, by the way, was true. Those were built under the Obama administration that separated families. So no wonder people are they're saying, you know what? Maybe the devil I know is worse than the devil I don't. And at least under President Trump, I saw my payroll taxes cut. So I've got more money in my paycheck. One out of every five black men in the United States voted for Trump. And it's interesting, too, when you look at women. You think, oh, all these suburban, wine drinking women are going to go for Biden, right? They love Hollywood. They're going to go for Biden. The United States in the exit polls, a majority of white women voted for Trump. I guess it turns out the Democratic strategy of only going after college educated white women didn't work. Turns out only one out of every three women in America actually have a college degree. So going after that elite strategy, I guess, didn't work. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to win. I'm saying he probably will win. But I'm saying, look at the Democratic Party at large. They did not win. And you had a number of people who just completely, I mean, the mainstream media, they were all in on the idea that just about, I think my wife and I, we were watching like a comedy bit. What was it on? Is that a Daily Show bit or something where no, it was a Jimmy Kimmel bit, right? Where, oh yeah, it was like they were going out interviewing. It was a black reporter, man on the street, going out and interviewing as many black individuals as they could find. Are you going to vote? Not one of them in their segment was going to vote for Trump. And all of these black voters were saying, I don't know anyone that's going to vote for Trump. Of course, they're interviewing him in Los Angeles. But nevertheless, this was the mainstream media message. Black Lives Matter. There's no way. Latino vote, by the way.
Well, and I felt personally that it was kind of a slap in the face to the Black Lives Matter movement to have a guy that wrote the crime bill that disproportionately incarcerates black people. Like,
right. I heard some really interesting and some compelling rallies and protests. One I listened to, a black woman at a protest was really impassioned. I should play it here on the show if I can find it. But she's saying, we need to wake up. We need something new in this country. We're going to vote. We're being told as black voters to just be in the can for Joe Biden, guy who wrote the crime bill. Guy that incarcerated this crime bill and allowed more incarcerations in the United States than in all of American history because of the 1994 crime bill that you championed. Like looking for an opportunity to come out, like to your point, and say, I'm sorry, this was a disaster. And looking for ways to maybe heal that instead of trying to sweep it under the rug. Again, he'll probably win, but there's a reckoning for the Democratic Party. And then here's what's going to happen. They're going to try this again, unless there's a wholesale rebuilding of the Democratic Party over the next 4 years. But it's not going to happen because all of these Washington elites, all of these big money donors, they like the system the way it is. They'd rather try to keep the Green Party off the ballots, chisel away at votes from other parties, instead of actually trying to extend their tent. So in 4 years, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to trot out the same message. They're going to do the same thing over and over again. And there's going to be nothing new. Maybe they'll add healthcare in just to boot. But there's going to be nothing new. It'll be the same thing. I mean, like I said yesterday, the definition of insanity is repeating something over and over and expecting a different result. And they just keep wondering. So they repeated 2016 and 2020. They rolled out the same Hillary platform. And they wonder why the results are the same. In fact, worse. And in Pennsylvania, Hillary Clinton performed better than Joe Biden did in a number of different counties. Hillary Clinton? Come on, man. Yeah, that's your home state, Joe. Scranton Joe. So you might win. And it's not just about winning at this point. You know, like we squeaked by. If you have a compelling message, it should be a landslide.
Well, it's also the arrogance. It's not. Like the arrogance to think that they didn't need to support any of Bernie Sanders' policies. Like if they would have just embraced a few of those, he could have won by a landslide. But instead he's going to squeak by.
Right. Medicare for all. Instead of this cockamamie insurance subsidy plan, how about a big stimulus? You know, Bernie Sanders was out there pushing for a universal basic income, at least through this pandemic, like other countries have done, like Canada has done, the UK, New Zealand, Australia, so that we have $1,000-$2,000 a month coming in the pockets of families right now who just have lost their jobs. Their jobs are gone completely. Bernie Sanders calling for that Emergency Money for the People Act, along with, by the way, Joe Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris, was one of the co-sponsors of that bill. And Ed Markey, I don't want to leave him out. $2,000 a month, retroactive back to March for a stimulus. And through 2021, through till we get through this pandemic or until a vaccine is there. No, that's what Bernie Sanders wanted. Look, Bernie Sanders has been spot on through this entire time. I'm just saddened that he went all in like a shill for Biden at the end. Because all of those supporters, all of those young people they were so sick and tired of this, you know, this two-party system, so sick and tired of Democrats with their pandering during an election season, and then they ignore you right when they're elected, just supporting big business, just supporting Wall Street. I was so sad to see like Bernie Sanders just like turn around, do an about face, kind of come out and say, you know, yeah, I still don't really, you know, I don't agree with everything, but Joe's a good guy. We got to get behind him because we got to get Trump out of there. That's not. What if you had a party that actually supported all of the ideas that Bernie Sanders has been pushing for so many years? The things that the majority of Americans want. 72% of Americans want Medicare for all. A majority of Americans don't want us to be in the Middle East and in these foreign wars. Imagine if we would have supported that. You know, Bernie Sanders has been pretty. He's like a fortune teller when it comes to this election. So this has gone viral over the past 24 hours, and I want to play it for you. A few weeks ago, Jimmy Fallon sat down with Bernie Sanders on his show, and he asked him about his predictions for the election day. Now just watch this, because literally almost word for word, Bernie Sanders nailed exactly what has unfolded over the past 48 hours since our election. Everything that Trump has done on his tweeting, how these late votes have been coming in, where the exit polls would be. I mean, just watch. This is amazing stuff, and Bernie Sanders nails it.
Well, days later, when do you think we'll know the results?
All right. Jimmy, you raise an important point, and I hope the American people understand it, because this is something I worry about. My view is every vote must be counted. For reasons which I don't have the time to get into tonight, you're going to have a situation, I suspect, in states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, other states, where they are going to be receiving huge amounts of mail-in ballots. And unlike states like Florida or Vermont, they're not being able, for bad reasons, to begin processing those ballots until, I don't know, election day, or maybe when the polls close. That means you're going to have states dealing with perhaps millions of mail-in ballots. Here is my worry. What polls show and what studies have shown is that for whatever reason, Democrats are more likely to use mail-in ballots. Republicans are more likely to walk into polling booths on election day. It is likely that the first votes that will be counted will be those people who came in on election day, which will be Republican.
And that's so far exactly spot on, exactly what happened. We knew this was going to happen, right? Bernie Sanders predicted it word for word. Pennsylvania, that's exactly what's happening right now. So on election day, looks like more people voted for President Trump. So that's why that map in Pennsylvania has been leaning red. But guess what? There's only 89% of the vote in right now. And over the past few hours, those numbers have started to go up for Biden, and it's getting very close to a tie at this point. Because now all of those hundreds of thousands of mail-in ballots, by the way, these aren't fake ballots. These are actual ballots that were mailed in weeks ago, some cases like August. I mailed mine in like in September, I think, in Pennsylvania. I'm done. Here it is in the secrecy envelope, and it's off. Those sat there and were not counted. They're not allowed to, by law, be counted until after the walk-in vote, the people that walk in on that day, are counted. So he's spot on. And now we're starting to see this unfold.
And here is the fear, and I hope everybody hears that. It could well be, and, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does. But it could well be that at 10 o'clock on election night, Trump is winning in Michigan, he's winning in Pennsylvania, he's winning in Wisconsin, and he gets on television and he says, "Thank you, Americans, for reelecting me. It's all over. Have a good day."
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what he did, although it wasn't 10 p.m. It was like 3 in the morning. "Thank you. I see, you know, we're already up in Pennsylvania. We're winning there. We're winning in Wisconsin." That's why they were so furious that Fox News kind of put a little wrench in their plans and called Arizona ahead of time. But guess what's happening now in Arizona? Arizona is starting to trend Trump. These late votes that are now coming in Arizona with 88% of the expected vote in right now are going towards Trump. So exactly what he's been fighting against in Pennsylvania, right? These late votes that are coming in were coming in for Biden. In Arizona, Fox News called this one as a victory for Biden. But guess what? These votes that are now coming in Maricopa County and other spots are now showing up for Trump. So maybe they were right to yell at Fox News about this and the Associated Press. CNN at this hour still has not called Arizona. They're still having it gray. It's too close to call, so they have not called it. But Bernie Sanders is spot on. He came out and said, "Look, I won. You know, I'm your president. Good. Go home. Stop counting. By the way, if they keep counting, we're going to take it to the Supreme Court." Let's see if Bernie got that part right.
But then the next day and the day following, all of those mail-in ballots start getting counted, and it turns out that Biden has won those states. At which point Trump says, "See, I told you the whole thing was fraudulent. I told you those mail-in ballots were crooked. And I got, you know, we're not going to leave office."
That's what's happening. So, Dave, you were counting how many lawsuits we have so far. As of this morning, Pennsylvania, Trump campaign has filed a lawsuit. Michigan, Wisconsin, and I think Arizona already. And Georgia, Giuliani was saying this morning.
Yeah, yes. Well, he didn't mention Georgia specifically, but Arizona, Wisconsin,
Michigan. Well, because I think Georgia right now is going, could be a statistical tie, which means it would be automatically thrown into a recount in Georgia anyway. So maybe they don't have to worry about that just yet. But yeah, they're already filing lawsuits. So Bernie Sanders, word for word, spot on about this.
So that is a worry that I and a lot of people have. So the results, you know, we don't know what's happened. Maybe sure. The results will be on election day, but people should be aware of that possibility.
Pretty amazing. I mean, that's spot on, word for word, exactly how this thing unfolded. Look, I think I'm not saying he's a genius, because I felt, well, maybe I am. Maybe he's a genius and I'm a genius. Maybe Dave, you're a genius too. I thought that this is exactly what was going to happen. Go back to, I did maybe 4 or 5 different shows throughout the summer in late August where I talked about this scenario happening, which is that this was going to happen, that these ballots would be on election day. They would trend sort of the red way, right, towards Trump. And then as these mail-in ballots started trickling in, that they started actually counting them, that they would skew blue. And that's exactly what's been happening. So it's not rocket science. And by the way, all these people saying these are fraudulent, or these Trump supporters saying that these are fraudulent votes, they're actual votes that people cast in their election. Like, they're not fraudulent votes. They're actual votes from members of the military, from people during a pandemic who don't want to go into a voting place and be near other people who are worried about their health. And by the way, it's not just Democrats this time. You know, Bernie Sanders said that they tend to lean more Democratic, these mail-in ballots, which is true. However, we're seeing that a lot of Republicans actually voted by mail. And that's why right now Arizona is starting to trend towards Trump. Again, because of these late-breaking mail-in ballots in these Republican districts that are actually going for Trump. This is democracy, like, at work. The fact that the Trump campaign is trying to get them to stop votes in Pennsylvania and Georgia, but allow the votes to continue in Arizona because it's going their way, is just laughable. And also that you're able to come out and sort of proclaim ahead of time that you have a right to something that you don't have a right to. John Legend, the singer, songwriter, came out yesterday and said and tweeted, "Hey, let's everyone send out a tweet claiming something to be ours that's not. And you have to use the word hereby. I hereby declare. Otherwise, it's not legally binding. So I hereby declare this afternoon that I am the proud owner of the Pizza Hut restaurant chain. I hereby declare it. It's not mine. See if they go along with it. But I hereby declare." What do you guys hereby declare in the chat? Let me know. "I hereby declare that Bernie Sanders got it right, and whoa, is it a shame that he was not the candidate pushing for the types of progressive policies that I support. And it could have been a much different scenario than we having to sit here for 3 days wondering who the president is." So smash that like button. Let me know your thoughts in the chat below. And thank you so much for subscribing to the channel. I really appreciate it. We've got more to get to here on the show. Thank you to all of you who are watching right now. We've got a bunch of new channel members. 9 new channel members that just joined. If you want to become a channel member. So we do these, the pre-show, we kind of open it up for everyone. But then when we go live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, we flip our chat stream over on the side of your screen here. We flip it to members only, just to keep it nicer for our community and our way of saying thank you for supporting independent journalism. We are not bought and sold by big media corporations who spin you a narrative. We're going to tell you the truth here. We're going to go after, when someone makes a mistake, we're going to go after Joe Biden. We're going to go after President Trump. Unafraid. Morninginvest.com/join is how you can become a channel member and support our channel. Good comments coming in that we could throw up on the screen. I wanted to talk about Oregon in a second.
RKE Ghost, a super chat. "Good morning, sir. I have a question. How much of the stuff that comes out of their mouth do you believe? How much will actually change for the people, meaning the politicians and stuff?"
Very little. I mean, yesterday we heard Mitch McConnell say that he wanted to have a stimulus by the end of the year. Well, great. Now you do. Okay. Do I believe him? Do I believe that you're going to get any of your members of the Senate caucus who won re-election to go along with a stimulus bill? No, you're just saying that for the cameras. I don't buy it for a second. Do I believe that Joe Biden is going to do nothing on fracking? He's not going to roll this back on federal lands. He's going to pull back and make a big move for our environment. No, I don't. I wish. You know, Joe Biden, during the debate, at least the environment came up and he talked about what a catastrophic situation we're facing in the next few years. Will he do anything about it? Maybe we'll get back into the Paris Climate Accords, which, by the way, isn't this funny too? November 5th, we pulled out of the yesterday officially on November 4th, we're out of the Paris Climate Accords. So now we are not a nation that can push China in any one direction, get large manufacturers to, like, for instance, BP shifted its entire strategy thanks to the Paris Climate Accords. Will Biden put us back in there when he takes the presidency in January? Maybe that's something. That's an easy thing for him to do. That's an easy thing for him to save face on. But when you've got all of these millionaires on Wall Street that funneled money into his campaign in August, upwards of $800 million that poured in after Kamala Harris was announced, do you think they're going to be inclined to increase banking regulations so they can't take advantage of you? Do you? I don't. So I think we'll see very little. I mean, it'll be interesting to see whether or not President Biden can actually work with a Republican Senate and get anything done. I don't know. What else do we got today?
Anita Dries said, "Hey, Clayton, did you see that McConnell is now supposedly saying we need a stimulus before the end of 2020?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's what I was just saying. He says we need one before the end of 2020. Okay, so how's that going to go? Do you think you're going to get that through with a President Trump if he's a lame duck? President Trump, who's going to be filing lawsuit after lawsuit, he's going to be tweeting every day about what an injustice his loss is. You think you're going to get a stimulus plan through signed by President Trump? Oh, and you're going to work with Nancy Pelosi to get something done in a lame duck Congress before the holidays? Look, we've got Thanksgiving coming up and then Christmas. They're not getting anything done. Oh, and by the way, they have to pass a budget agreement before the end of the year. That continuing resolution to keep the government open, that expires. That's more of a priority. Otherwise, we end up with another government shutdown. So do you think in a lame duck session, given the acrimony we've just seen and gone through in this election, that Democrats and Republicans are going to come together on a stimulus bill? I don't. By the way, politically, what does Trump care anymore, right? He's done if he loses. Not done yet. I don't want to call it, but if he loses in the next 24 hours officially, he's going to work on a stimulus bill. I don't buy it for a second. I want to talk about Wall Street. Can I? Let's talk about Wall Street. What is Wall Street? You know, when you look at the election, how does Wall Street care right now about what's unfolding before their eyes? 47-47 Senate right now. We have six Senate seats up for grabs. Democrats lost House seats? How is that possible in this blue wave we were supposed to see? Biden is, all by all accounts, on his road to winning this thing. So why yesterday was the stock market had a spectacular day yesterday? Why? By all accounts, this is their worst nightmare, right? No stimulus. We kept hearing about the nightmare scenario for Wall Street. That if we don't have the Senate is Democrat, then we're not going to get a stimulus through. And that's a nightmare scenario for Wall Street because they know that so many people are going to lose their homes and evictions and so forth. So what actually happened yesterday? Well, the lack of a blue wave actually made Wall Street happy. But here's why. Let's get into the numbers a little bit. And this actually, the reason I'm doing this story is because I want you to think about your own finances right now, your own 401k. And if it's tied to Wall Street, I have some advice for you coming up at the end here. So an outcome would have significantly, if we had a blue wave, that would have significantly increased the chances of having a big coronavirus stimulus package, where these big banks on Wall Street, all of these guys would have gotten millions and billions of dollars once again. But we didn't. We didn't have a blue wave. We don't know how this is going to shake out just yet. So that also scared a lot of, the idea of a big blue wave was scaring a lot of the tech stocks. And the reason the NASDAQ is fueled by the big tech companies, right? And they were scared that a Biden presidency and a Biden and a blue wave in Congress would have put further regulations on big tech companies. Well, it looks like that's not going to happen. Big tech went gangbusters yesterday, according to the data. They were up nearly 4% because they were so happy about basically a log jam in Congress. So they were happy that they wouldn't have to face further regulations. According to Josh Brown of Reitholtz Wealth Management, stocks had their best post-election day rally ever. Ever. A gridlock Congress is not just going to help Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos. It's also going to help healthcare, because those healthcare stocks jumped significantly, because that means that there's going to be no drug price reforms coming anytime soon. If we have a logjam in Congress, do you think they're going to get through trying to lower prescription drug prices? Again, this is when I look at Wall Street and I just think, this is how out of touch they are with you. Wall Street is excited that you will have to pay more for drugs. Did you hear me? Wall Street went crazy yesterday because now they know they won't have to face lowering drug prices. And tech companies went happy, and people invested more in tech companies yesterday because guess what? They're not going to be regulated as much. So when President Trump gets up there and talks about how your 401k under Trump presidency, it's great, it's fantastic, it's because Wall Street is out of step with the American people. If most Americans understood what was actually in their 401k, they would be horrified. Not only at the fees you're paying to other people, but like what are you actually invested in? Like, what are your family values? Do you care about the environment? Do you care about prescription drug prices? Do you care about workers' rights? Look at the companies that your 401k is invested in and come back tomorrow and tell me, like, are you happy with that? I know I wasn't. That's why I got rid of my 401k and pulled everything out of the stock market. Uber went up 15%. Lyft got a lift, up 11%. Because they had their own policy win of their own out there in California, Proposition 22. We've been covering that in the newsletter over the past few weeks, protecting their gig economy business model from, basically a crisis. So Uber and Lyft, they're okay for now. They have to change their entire business model. Last time Congress looked similar, when we had this, we could end up with in a Biden win scenario, was in 2001, 2003, when Republican President George Bush was dealt a Republican House and a Democratic Senate, and then a national emergency on top of it with the dot-com collapse. The Dow dropped 20% and the NASDAQ lost half of its value. So it looks good right now as these companies are driving up the price of their stocks, probably doing more share buybacks and so forth to artificially inflate their stock and make as much profits as they can squeeze out right now on Wall Street. But then in the next few months, look for a disaster. As I've mentioned before, these stocks are highly overvalued. The price to earnings ratio on these companies is awful, and we're facing inflation. You mean to tell me that the stock market is not going to correct itself in the next few months and we are going to see a huge decline? Look to history again, 2001 to 2003 under George W. Bush, huge decline in the stock market, 20%. So again, your family's future is tied to this. You need to be aware that this is coming and finding out what kind of stocks you're invested in. And if you can position those in a different way or pull them out under the CARES Act, you have before the end of the year under the CARES Act, the ability to pull out up to $100,000 of your 401k under the CARES Act as a hardship because of coronavirus, get that money out of there. If this were my money, this is what I do. I'm not a financial advisor, but take your money, look yourself in the mirror, see what's right for your family, and pay attention to what's happening on Wall Street. I think we're in for a huge collapse. So repositioning your money into real estate or precious metals, that's what I would be doing. Again, all up to you. Or at least repositioning your stocks into stocks that are growth-centric during this extended pandemic. but not tied to this crazy volatility. Because, you know, so many of us could end up having our retirement accounts wiped out when this goes sideways. And all of these big businesses on Wall Street that artificially inflated their stocks, they made off like gangbusters because they knew what they were doing. Driving these things up like 70% artificially and then selling and moving out as quickly as they can, making all these profits, repositioning themselves while you get screwed. So that's what's happening with the stock market. I have one more story that I want to cover, and that's out in Oregon. So again, we're looking at who won on election day, right? What were the big winners on election day? Right now, it's not all that clear, but there was one big winner on election day. And that was the end, to my mind, the end of the war on drugs. So I think the American people had a big victory on election day, and it had nothing to do with the candidates. It had to do with what unfolded out in Oregon. And the people there decided to say, you know what? We're done with this war on drugs. And thanks to Oregon voters, Oregon is the first state in the country to now decriminalize the personal possession of all drugs, including heroin and cocaine. Oregonians passed a ballot measure 110, also known as the Drug Decriminalization and Addiction Treatment Initiative, with 59% of the vote. Now, there was other legalization that unfolded across the country, the legalization of recreational marijuana in New Jersey, in Arizona, in Montana, in South Dakota. Every one of these victories has had a long overdue challenge to this old drug criminalization system where you can be locked up. Hey, crime bill, 1994, Joe Biden, where you can be locked up for the rest of your life for having a little bit of crack cocaine that's found on you. But if it was just the white powder, like what white people used, you'd only have to deal like a year in prison. But if it's the crack cocaine, then we're going to throw the book at you. Drowning our entire criminal justice systems in all of these drug-related cases. So guess what? Now in Oregon, this is how we start to reform policy. I think we could see a dramatic shift across the country. And this, to me, was the first... Oregon, congratulations. This was the first big move in this. I've witnessed it. I've watched it and studied what Portugal has done. You know, in 2001, the country of Portugal became the very first country, not a state, the very first country to decriminalize drugs. And instead of treating it like a crime, treating it as an addiction and treating the symptoms of that, getting people help that they need in different clinics and so forth. What that it did, so that's why it's been such a success. We've had 20 years now to study that country and how they decriminalized drugs. And what we found is, remarkably, that it took all of that pain out of the criminal justice system, all of that money that went to just fighting those types of cases, and was able to put that money towards actual crimes, not people just being found with a bag of marijuana in their back pocket and going to prison. Tying up the court system, recreational marijuana, etc. So instead, it entails the removal of criminal penalties for the possession of small amounts of illegal substances. After February 1st, the drug penalty for possession will be akin to a hefty traffic ticket, $100 fine. Those who cannot or do not want to pay can choose to agree to a health assessment at an addiction recovery center. So what happened is all of these states' attorneys general flew to Portugal. Over the past few years, they've been going into Lisbon. They've been meeting with the government here to see how they did it. Why has it been so effective? Other countries in Europe are starting to follow that same rule and that same law to see how they can decriminalize drugs and actually get it out of the criminal justice system and into the treatment centers where it needs to be. So you had New Jersey, you had other states' attorneys generals flying to Europe, meeting and understanding how did you do it? How has it been such a success? The crime rate, realize now, Portugal is the third safest country in the world, according to the UNESCO. Is it the UNESCO numbers? Yeah, the UNESCO numbers. United States, 128 on the list. Portugal's the third safest country in the world behind Iceland and New Zealand. They're right next to Spain, which still has to deal with these problems. Portugal doesn't. So we can learn a lot from this. And congratulations to Oregon for decriminalizing this. It's not the legalization of drugs. You still get a fine if you're caught with that stuff. But then you can choose again to go to a clinic and get help, but not get thrown away in prison for the rest of your life. Which is what's been, you know, has decimated the African-American community in the United States. So measure 110, baby. Reduce convictions for drug possession by nearly 90%. So you're going to see the number of drug convictions go plummet in the state of Oregon, and you're going to see their criminal justice system be able to go after violent criminals, spend more time adjudicating those types of cases. So good on you, Oregon. There was a big glimmer of hope in this week's election. And so I wanted to bring that to you because I think that that's very, very important. So congrats, Oregon. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Drop me a comment below. I will read all of them. Go ahead and smash that like button and subscribe to our channel. Thank you so much. So there you go. And of course, one of the big losers during this election was the polling industry. I'm going to talk more about the polling industry tomorrow on the show because the millions of dollars that flow into the polling industry, I think people would want their refunds right now. Like the seven of the last seven polls out of Maine has Susan Collins not even close to winning. She won. Florida, same thing there. Overwhelming number of polls over the last few weeks in these state races, all wrong. So I think the polling industry that people love to spend millions of dollars supporting, we might have seen the death of the polling industry. We'll talk more about that on the show tomorrow as we get more of these poll numbers and see whether or not they were correct. But so far, trending pretty poorly for these pollsters. They have to start doing other things like children's birthday parties and stuff like that. That's going to do it for the show today. Thank you so much for subscribing. James Gillum has a question here before I go. I want to say thank you for your show. You've given me a perspective and different outlook on the American government. You are a great guy, Clayton Morris, for president. Thank you, James. I really appreciate that, but I will not be running for president.
Are you sure about that?
Like, to attend to.
I'm going to ask you every week, are you sure you're not going to run for president?
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I like doing my show and trying to keep them honest here on this show. I enjoy broadcasting too much to want to run for any kind of political office. There was a time when I was younger that I thought I wanted to do that. I don't anymore, but I got to go. I have to run. I have a meeting. I know you do too. You do as well. Or I don't know that, but I just think you do. Let's just assume you do. I've got a meeting. I have to run too. So much love to all of you. Thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel and being a part of our great community here. I really appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Unless we have some crazy breaking news in the afternoon, I will bring that to you as well. Thank you guys. And we'll see you next time.